All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. And The Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy Thursday, everybody. Good morning.
What is happening?
How we doing? How we feeling?
Doing fantastic. Feeling great.
Yeah.
Ready for a delightful little Thursday radio show.
Indeed.
I did get shited yesterday. I had to check protocol here.
You got what?
Shited. Is that a word? Is that correct? Pronunciation, producer? You got anything for me?
Is that a curse? Are you trying to say the S word?
No, I'm not.
You mean chided?
Chided? Is it chided or shited?
I think it's chided.
Chided?
Like your
like
were...
a chia pet? I have to be stronger in my CH?
Like you were spoken down to?
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
That is chia pet.
Okay, all right, I'll take your word for it. I think either one could work, but
well,
let me know.
I think the texters will correct you on
that. I'm sure that they will.
It's chided.
Chided.
Yeah.
Hard CH? Is that what you're telling me?
Hard
CH.
Hard.
You can't come out with a possible swear word for
that
seconds.
Wasn't anywhere know, close bro. To a swear word.
Yeah,
that's not
like,
even in the that's not in the ballpark, dude. Dude, so I and maybe I'm inferring tone here that wasn't actually there, but I will tell you what happened. So Teddy Ballgame's allergic to peanuts, which is not fun to deal with. But like once a year we have to take him in to get tested, and it's always like, oh yeah, he's still allergic. Cool. Glad I had to spend $200 for that. But they give him a prick, and he, you know, you got to wait in a room for like 20 minutes. And if they, all right, Jesus, you two.
You've got to choose better words.
We're just they to prick his back. Sorry. That's what they do. They put it in a little vial, and you prick him in the back.
They
and
pull gets, a sample. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They don't pull
Stick
a sample.
A
they don't. It's not even a needle. It's a prick. That's what they do.
Still a needle.
Okay? Not really. Small needle.
There you go.
So he gets the prick, and we're standing in there. We have to wait around for like 20 minutes, but you always know like 4 minutes in, you look at his back, and it's like, all right, still allergic, mm-hmm. but I got to wait another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They put me in like a 5x5 room. To stand with him. Wife's working, so it's just me and him. And we got to sit in there for 20 minutes. And he can't touch anything because there's like vials of different things and refrigerators. So it's like, he can't just roam freely, right? So I'm looking for ways to entertain him for 15 minutes. And I look over on the wall and I see two boxes of rubber doctor gloves. Okay.
Did you blow up a chicken?
Does any parent, like, where does your mind go? Immediately, oh, this will kill 10 minutes right here. I grab a glove. You're damn right I blew up a chicken, and I tied it off. And you know what killed 15 minutes of waiting in that room?
The glove chicken.
Him bopping it around, tossing it up in the air. It's falling down to the ground. Yep. I'm like, it's a rubber glove. This is perfect. This will entertain a two-year-old. We get done with the appointment, and I'm leaving. And the doctor makes kind of a snidey comment. Well, you can take that glove, I guess, as I'm leaving the room. And I think to myself, like, first off, you put me in a 5x5 cell here.
So you
okay?
heard the way he said that
the
is
way he
you
said
heard it in a very...
Like, how dare you, like,
don't
you think you can
gloves.
Just you can take our gloves? You think you can touch our gloves?
Did you say anything back?
No, I didn't say anything back. You know, wanted to say thanks for telling me what I already needed to know and the $200 fee that it took to find out what I already needed to know. Thank you, healthcare system. You know, I'm glad I have insurance that doesn't cover this. This is fantastic. And yeah, I got a little upset by that. I was chided by the doctor for taking a rubber glove, which costs, what are we talking, 4 cents to make, 2 cents to make, a penny to make? That thing can't cost much. A box of gloves is like $5. There was another 100 gloves in there. I didn't take the last one out, and I was a little offended by that yesterday.
So, okay. So it's about 10 minutes you said you had to kill, or 15? What'd you say?
It was like you have to wait 17 minutes from the time of the prick to the end when they can officially test. But it was very obvious 2 minutes in, the thing starts to swell up, and you're like, yeah, still, it sucks, but, you know, it's pretty obvious.
I'm just kind of curious. Having been in a doctor's waiting room situation,
yeah.
I don't know about 5x5, but being in a waiting room.
Hotter than hell in there, too. I had to take my jacket off. Well, I was sweating my balls off.
At the time where we were in our lives.
Yeah.
I didn't go to most of those appointments. My wife did, which was not good for my marriage. I should have taken work off more.
Depends on the timing
right?
of it, right? Yeah, we used to be in a different slot. Now, for me, it's like I had to leave. I had to get home. It was 10:45. We barely made it in time.
Having been in that room, though, I'm kind of curious why you felt you grab stuff. Why not just, like, I don't know, do a finger puppet show?
Is this against protocol?
No,
is this
a
faux pas? Are you taking the doctor's side? Are you chiding me right
I'm
now?
I'm not chiding the tongue depressor, right?
Yeah, it's either that or I'm grabbing the popsicle stick and being like, let's bang this around like a drumstick. Like, give me something here to work with.
What about, like, the little light telescope thing that's stuck.
They didn't
to the
have
wall.
One. It wasn't like a normal room. That was the other thing. Like it wasn't a normal.
She just had gloves, and that was it.
It was glove, and then there was like fridges of different vials and other things. Like I felt like I was in kind of a unique. It wasn't a normal doctor
put you
room,
in, like,
if
the
you
lab
will.
Storage room.
It felt like a lab. There was a chair in there that I could sit down in, but he wanted to get down out of the chair after about 5 minutes of sitting on my lap.
Now I'm not a big screen time guy, but why not just hand him the phone?
Sometimes
for 10
he's into the screen, and sometimes he's not. Sometimes it works. And I tried that. That was my first. My first
like
step was like, hey, let's watch turtle videos from Hawaii, buddy. Sure. Like, let's relive the great memories of
so
our
did you choose the best
tropical
content,
island
like, oh,
vacation. And then he's like looking around. He wants other stuff. Then he wants to hold the phone, and then he's going to drop the phone. So it's like, I don't want to give him the phone. Now my phone's going to get cracked. How about a chicken rubber glove? Okay. Is that too much to take from the doctors?
What are you going to do?
Am I messing up their bottom line at the end of the year?
Yeah, no.
One rubber glove, you will never recover.
Well, bill just, your insurance for $120.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get something additional in the bill in the mail.
I just find it interesting that your instincts were grab something that I don't know if I should be touching.
I mean, look.
I'm not taking the doctor's side here. I think you just overall, you're like, how do I entertain this kid for 10 minutes?
It's not a stethoscope, Sprague. It's
yeah,
a freaking glove.
That's what I'm saying. It's a rubber glove.
But they're for the doctors.
Yeah, I mean, come
on.
They're for everyone.
No, they don't say
grab a glove, take a glove, okay?
No.
If you walk into a doctor's office and you grab a Band-Aid, are those Band-Aids specifically for the doctors? Or are they
am I allowed to use the tissue, too, or can I not sneeze? Is that only the doctor's tissue?
Well, why are you grabbing Band-Aids?
Maybe I need one. Maybe he's got a paper cut.
Yeah.
Then you ask the doctor for a Band-Aid.
You got to ask permission before you get a Band-Aid.
What if they're laying right on the counter?
They're right there.
You really
there.
Need to wait until you come back. Hey, doctor, I've been bleeding for a couple of minutes.
Right
do you
there
mind
in front
just
of you.
Stitching me
I
up?
Mean, I'm not going through every drawer. I'm not checking out all the different vials. I just figured a rubber glove was, you know.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to sit in a spot where I'm not, like, really taking the doctor's side here. But I'm also thinking, like, what if somebody just came into our studio?
What would the equivalent of taking something be? That'd be like taking a pen. Like at our client party, somebody was like, ooh, can I write you a note? And they, can I borrow a pen?
But guy or you they, don't know walks into the studio during a commercial break and grabs a pen off the desk. I don't really care about these pens.
They're not my pens. Go ahead. I didn't pay for the pens.
But
you
I'd
can
also
have the pens.
Be like, who is this? Why did they just take our pens?
Oh, look, apples to oranges comparison. Because if somebody's barging into the studio, we got other problems on our hands here.
Right.
You know,
man,
it's not. I didn't invite them into the studio for a 10:45 appointment.
Sure.
And then they tell them they have to sit in here for 20 minutes
totally
and entertain themselves.
I totally get it. Yeah. I'm also like, I've never been in a position, I think, where I've looked around and I'm like, I'm going to grab something off the wall. So maybe I just can't understand because
maybe I'm too loosey goosey in society. Is that what you're telling me?
I think one glove would be okay.
Yeah,
it'd be all right.
I didn't take the box. I didn't take five. I didn't blow up a bug. We didn't have a balloon animal party in there.
I also think how
glove's still at the house. By the way, he's playing with it when we got home. It's like you're damn right. I'm taking this glove home, and we're gonna play with it when we get back.
How much were you rattled for some reason with like an inner monologue of? I shouldn't do this. I did it. And now you're instantly feeling judged without being judged. And so, like, when you say he chided you when you left, what if we rewound life and he's just like,
the live tape?
Oh, you could take that glove with you, too.
And it wasn't, yeah. And I was inferring too much in the tone.
Because you're
very
already,
well could have been. Very
know,
well could have been.
You were feeling defensive.
I could have. Hey, look, that's definitely a possibility. I won't rule it out. Mm. I did not have a guilty feeling taking the glove out of the box, though. There was never a thought in my mind of, like, I wonder if I can do this or not.
No, I'm not saying there should be. I find it curious. You're like, oh, I'm just going to grab this stuff off the wall.
give me a thing, all right? I'm hanging out in here for 20 minutes.
So I think of all my experiences with doctors, I don't think I've seen every single category of doctor in my life.
Yeah.
But of, you know, if you were to lump the dentist into the category, and I
sure.
know that's a jokey thing that the medical community
is
likes to
make. Is it a doctor
make,
or not a doctor?
Right? Yeah. If you were to lump all of those medical people in,
mm-hmm.
I would tell you the only one I've experienced with consistent attitude and just not great energy.
Sure.
Dermatologist.
Yeah.
I've had three different dermatologists at three different points of my life. And every single time, they just look at you and like have this such judgy face of like, that's just standard rash.
Right.
Why are you bothering me with this?
As if, I'm like, sorry.
As if I didn't pay primo bucks for this appointment.
Yes.
Wait weeks because, you know, you guys aren't just a walk-in service.
You were full and all your appointments for a month.
Dude, the absolute worst experiences I've ever had with a medical professional of any kind, it's easily the dermatologist, which I would argue they should be the most social, because in some ways you're dealing with the most insecure parts of being human.
So, yeah, stuff on your skin, on your face.
I got acne.
Yes.
I got some weird rash thing on my head. I've got dry bumps on my inner thigh. I don't want to show you these, but I need a medical cream. And they're just like
dry bumps.
You know, whatever.
No,
you
know.
I'm just coming up with stuff.
I've got the vision now, and I don't want it.
There's dry skin there. What's going on?
Yeah.
Why is it there? And they're just like, that's normal. And they just stare at you.
It's
and
the tone,
say
too.
It.
Yeah.
It's the tone. It's the face.
You don't have to be so disrespectful here.
Yeah.
If anything, if I'm a dermatologist, wouldn't you like an appointment where it's actually not a big deal?
I would love it to
like
make
you're paying
me feel
the
better.
Same amount. You're in there, and it's like, oh, actually, buddy, don't worry about it. You're totally fine. Put a little bit of this cream on there. You're gonna
be no issues
at all. Thanks for coming in and getting it checked out.
Well, my wife and I have talked about this really quickly.
Yeah.
The dermatologist thing. I feel like their bedside manner might not be as great because you know, with you talked about not seeing every you know kind of different doctor to this point in your life, which is good. You don't want to. That's a bad thing. But we all at one point or another go to the dermatologist. I did not know this until my wife explained to me. It's actually the most competitive specialty as a doctor to get into. So when you're
dermatology
to choose,
is
well, it's probably Bucco Bucks.
It's Bucco Bucks. You talk about the appointments that you're in there for.
Pops
they're very quick. They're very easy, and it's very low stress. You don't have to deal with a lot of death. You don't have to deal with a lot of blood. Like it's pretty cut and dry. So it is the most competitive. You've got every single doctor and their mother trying to get into that specialty, and when they do, they're back sitting pretty. They don't give an S really about you.
Right.
They give an S as a dermatologist about the massive check and the easy job that they've got.
So I've experienced this personally. So I take my daughter into an appointment and, you know, I didn't think she needed to go. She asked compared to me and I think compared to a lot of kids I see, like pretty standard, normal little amounts of acne every once in a while.
Sure. Like, every kid's going to have it occasionally.
I tell her it looks great. I'm like, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
So my wife scheduled an appointment anyway. So I go with her, and I wanted to go get a prescription because I have psoriasis on my head.
Yeah.
So I need to get that filled. So I go with her. My appointment's first. I then go into the office right next to it because her appointment's next.
That's a nice little 2-for-1 right there.
And I have the same takeaway. I'm like, third dermatologist I've ever seen in my life, and it's the same vibe every time, different person.
Yeah.
It's just like this weird, I don't want to tell you what's wrong with me because you're giving me a look right now. So I get out of that appointment, right? That's my takeaway. I walk into the room, same derm as my daughter. I'm sitting there just in case my daughter needs me to like convey any kind of message.
Yeah, do you have a
right?
question or if she has something she doesn't understand?
And just everything my daughter brings up, it's the same vibe, at least to me. And I'm like, well, maybe my interpretation of the situation is wrong. So we walk out, we go to the car, and my daughter just goes, Dad, can I tell you something? And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And she goes, she seemed really like mean and just uncomfortable. And I was like, thank you.
Oh, I've been saying this
thank you.
My whole life.
I don't know what it is, but every dermatologist I see, they just have a weird arrogance, like bad, I don't know, aura. It's a thing, man.
You gotta, if you're a doctor, like that's, you gotta work on that.
You gotta have people skills.
You gotta have people skills.
Manner.
Yes, it's a very important thing.
I know.
Our first pediatrician was that way. Like, we moved, so we don't go there anymore. We probably would have left eventually, but I remember early on when we would take Teddy in for a random thing or an appointment, and you would have a question or concern. Like, dude, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, okay? It's the first time I've gone through this.
Right.
He's 3 weeks old. He's like, this yellow snot's coming out of his nose, and I feel like he's about to die. I don't know of any answers for this. Can you please put my mind at ease? And every time it was completely dismissive, which I get from their perspective of, like, they see it every day. They understand it's not that big of a deal. But back to the bed, like, can you just reassure me without, like, talking down to me? Like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Nothing you can do.
Well, like, okay, so say it's yellow snot. Teddy Ballgame's got yellow snot. He's 3 weeks old. If I'm a doctor, I've heard and seen this my whole career.
A million times.
So you say it to me. I'll pretend to be the doctor.
Yeah, he's got some yellow snot coming out of his nose. It won't stop. It's kind of freaking us out.
Totally get it. Let me reassure you guys. Happens to tons of kids. I see it all the time. He's A-okay. He checks out great.
Perfect.
All right.
Instead of the attitude of, why are you in here wasting my time?
Yeah, there's like a facial thing
yes,
of like
a tone.
Yeah. It's normal.
Duh.
Have a good day.
Well, thanks, Tips. I wasn't aware of that. It's my first child.
And I understand that these people, they're way smarter than us.
Yes, they are.
It takes a lot to do what they do.
Yes, it does.
But maybe they can learn something from us.
Uh-huh.
Be kind of normal.
People helping people.
People helping people.
It's a powerful thing, man.
I like that, yeah.
I'm taking that rubber glove.
Side note, you like to chide people who record concerts. You recorded Turtles in the Ocean as if you're going to rewatch that ever?
He was sitting next to one. That's the only reason I did it. Not just like a random turtle swimming around. No, hey, look at that turtle! No, there was one like on a that like kind of swam up to the shore a little
bit.
Yeah. And he went and sat down next to it. There was like an 8-second video of him saying "turtle bathtub," pointing at the water.
Yeah, you're showing him the same turtle, dude. There's got to be turtle videos on YouTube. Like, go beach turtle.
Hey, I tried the
videos.
Phone thing, man. I gave it a shot. I said, "Screen Time Buddy, I'm not opposed to it. You go ahead and do it."
Trust tree?
Yeah.
Did you touch a turtle there?
I did not touch a turtle. It's
supposed to not be good for them.
You cannot touch the turtles.
I guess our oils can give them
cancer.
That's
rule number one. You can't take exotic plants in there, and you can't touch the turtles.
They're so majestic.
I know. I really wanted
to
touch it.
You just want to hug them. You're like, dude, you just look awesome.
I want to mainly touch the head. Not the shell. What's the skin feel like?
I'm more fascinated by the fin leg.
The fins?
Shell
touch
situation.
Yeah.
I just think it's cool.
I did want to touch it. I'm not going to lie. But I didn't.
Did you snorkel?
I did for a little bit. It's hard when you're there with a 2-year-old because
it's
then
very
it's like,
hard with children.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
he's not going to go snorkeling. Not going to happen.
We're not doing flotation.
So it's one of those things of like, hey, well, honey, you hang on the beach. I'm going to go swim in the ocean for a half hour.
Yeah.
I'll see you later, deuces.
You guys do deep ocean snorkeling or like out
the
shore?
No, within 30 feet of the sand.
We are still.
I'm not going out into the ocean.
The deepest I went was like.
I did it. It sucked.
Yeah.
The deepest I think I went is when we got married in 2012. The wife and I snorkeled the whole trip. We didn't snorkel last time we went because we have kids. It's just a weird thing. We had a turtle at one of the bays we were snorkeling, and it was so majestic. We ended up like in a trance, and we just followed him. And he was just swimming, and we realized he was swimming out into the ocean.
You
like
poke your head up, you're like, uh-oh.
And like the water was getting darker, and I'm like, mm-mm, I'm turning around.
Nope.
Finally snapped out of it. The wife and I look up. And, like, we were a swag 500 yards away, but really we were 30 yards.
Right.
Like, we're going back.
Turn around. This is where the great whites are.
No, thank you.
Stay away from the great
more
whites.
More worried about the bull sharks over there.
Yeah, got to keep a head on a swivel.
The bull sharks are a bunch of a-holes,
let
man.
Let them get you, man.
All right, well, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Happy Thursday.
Don't get chided today.
Don't get chided.
Don't you chide me over my takes.
Schultzy in for Swigard today. He's going to be out for TBD.
Yeah.
A week,
maybe
longer.
TBD.
Obviously dealing with his medical thing with his dad. So still thinking about him and his family there. So Schultzy in today. It's a loaded show. We got a magic hat. We got two guests. Let's get it going. Let's start with the good news. It's finally dead on 105.1, The Fan. Got a lot to get to today. Got some college football in the notes. Got audio.
Love a little college football segment in April.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm going to love that one, but.
Backup quarterback. Talking to the media.
Some would say most important guy on the team, okay? Insurance policy in case something goes wrong. Some
Sit
people
down.
Call him Mini Mahomes.
Be humble. Sit down. Be humble.
I've never said anything bad about him in my life on this radio. There's no tape out there.
We got two guests today. Eric Collins is the regular Hornets play-by-play man. He's also going to be calling playoff games for Amazon Prime.
Yes, he is.
So he's going to hop on with us at 7:30. And then coming up at 8:30, we'll do a peekaboo, a look ahead of Spurs Blazers.
Game one, Sunday.
Tips off this weekend, and so we'll talk with our good friend Jason Minix down in San Antonio.
Used to do regular hits with him when there were playoff appearances, and then they stole LaMarcus Aldridge. We haven't had him on in a while, and now it's time to talk to him again.
Yep, we're back, baby. Scaring them like no other down there.
Shaking in their boots.
Speaking of being scared and shaking in their boots, feels like that Saudi investment firm certainly is with a war going on in Iran. According to reports, LIV Golf is basically on the brink of officially packing it up.
Yeah, it was a hell of a day yesterday in the golf world. I was following it closely. I know I'm sure some probably weren't. It went from shutting down immediately to the CEO saying, no, we're fine. We're great all the way through 2032. And then by the end of the day, it was, well, we're fine until the end of the year. And then we'll see from there. But business as usual as we proceed. My favorite joke I saw about it, though, was all the stuff going on in the Middle East. It would be hilarious if the war in Iran ended up shutting down LIV Golf. And that ended up being an outcome of it. But basically, the Saudis pouring over their financials and then somebody inside the Crown Prince's circle saying, wait a minute, why have we paid somebody named Taylor Gooch $70 million over the last 2 years? Maybe this is really dumb. I've said it from the get-go. The only question about LIV Golf that ever mattered is how long are the Saudis cool hemorrhaging money? Because it was never going to be a profitable league. It was never going to work. It was never going to rise to the level of the PGA Tour. It was never going to get a prime TV deal. And it just, like, that's the only question. They're spending out of the butt, and they got more money than anybody on the planet to be able to do it. So as long as they're okay, they'll keep rolling it out. But clearly we got our answer that after this year, they're like, nah, we've lost over $1 billion on this. We're not getting anything in return.
Right.
It has not grown in popularity, and we're going to shut that thing down.
Well, so here is the thing that I found funny in reading about it, because they announced it kind of at the tail end of the show. They had this emergency meeting in New York City.
Yeah, it was. There were rumors kind of boiling all day, but nothing specific. And then the end of the show, you found out about the meeting.
I can't help but laugh at the idea that I remember when it all started. I think it was Greg Norman. I want to say it was Greg Norman was basically like, we got all the money in the world. We're never stopping.
Yeah.
Boy, that didn't last very long.
No, it didn't.
And second, what a ride for Rory McIlroy to go back-to-back from the Masters.
Hell of a week, dude.
And a week later, Liv is like, we're broke. We don't want to pay for this anymore. It's over.
Yeah, bitches, come on back.
And like, I'm being serious here. You cannot like Rory McIlroy. We give Joe Fisher a hard time because he doesn't like him for whatever the reasons are. That's fine. I don't care about that. But if this was to happen to any other sport we like if this was in football or this was basketball, fill in the blank, whatever player in those sports you don't like, if the sport was teetering because somebody started another league and this big-named player was
stood up for the institution.
The hell I will, and was like giving them, you know, a lot of crap for bouncing and taking the big check and staying firm, I think you'd have to commend him. And so he wasn't alone in that. Tiger Woods also said no, and I know Tiger's going through his demons, but
he turned down $1 billion.
In the moment, though, like looking back, remarkable, man. Yeah. And you got to give him a lot of credit for standing up to it in the face of an era where everybody's just saying yes to the blank check.
Yes.
Right?
Including some people who said they would never say yes to the blank check.
Athletes.
John Rahm.
Celebrities, politicians, you name it, dude. Everybody's getting bought. Rory McIlroy, who does make a lot of money, was like, yeah, I could make a ton more, but I'm good here. And he stood up for it, and he's going to end up winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, legacy mattered to him, and playing on a tour that was the best tour in the world mattered to him. And he still gets to play internationally. He gets to play events on the DP World Tour, and he gets to play, still plays events in Saudi Arabia early in the year. So he's able to kind of split his calendar a little bit. And yeah, there's no doubt, like, look, financially speaking, the guys on LIV will always be rewarded for it, although I don't know how many of their contracts were going past this year. And they can go file a breach of contract in front of a Saudi court if they want to, which I would love to see Phil Mickelson on national television arguing against a Saudi crown prince that they broke his contract and they still owe him another $100 million. It's going to be fascinating to see how it all works out, right? Like, this is going to shut down. They're going to try and argue for the rest of the season that, well, no, we'll find other funding. It's like, no, you won't, man. What's going out, you cannot duplicate coming in because you're spending so much money on these golfers in guaranteed contracts and prize payouts and all of that. Like, there's no sponsorships in the TV deals that you can go find that will match that will make this profitable. And so it's going to crumble. And it's awesome for the game of golf. LIV was never going to succeed. It just was never going to be a mainstream golf league in terms of the shorts and the 54 holes and the shotgun start and the music vibe. For some younger bros and for some people out there, you enjoyed it and you watched it. I never really got into it. Half the tournaments were on in the middle of the night because they're in South Korea or South Africa or Australia. And so it's on at 3:00 in the morning and you're just not going to be on primetime TV windows. But it's awesome for golf to try and reunify, and now the million-dollar question will become, how does the PGA Tour handle this? They have ultimately won the war, and at least at the end of the year they would have won the war. They've already got Brooks back. They're on the process of bringing Patrick Reed back, and now it's a question of all the other guys.
They have to take a year off is what I read.
I mean, it's not all – Brooks didn't have to take a year off.
No, I know.
So, like, everybody's going to be treated differently, yes. And that's the unique part of it of – do you allow Rahm and Bryson back immediately because they're massive names? If they say this week, hey, we want to come back, are you allowing them immediately back on the tour? Do you make them wait a year?
Like, I would assume they would.
And think about all the guys. Like, we did a story, I remember, months ago in the Magic Hat when Swag brought it up. The NCAA national champion, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, that person gets an automatic berth to Augusta to go play, and they're supposed to go play with the defending Masters champion. It's like a massive deal. And the kid this year said, no, he signed a deal with LIV, which then took away his ability to go play in the Masters. He was a guy I was thinking about yesterday. Like, you didn't even get that big of a bag. You turned down a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now you got to go to Q school? Congratulations, buddy. You're back to step one. And so all these guys kind of shuffling their feet back. The million-dollar question ultimately, though, is how they handle and treat Phil Mickelson. Because Phil Mickelson basically was the spearhead of all of this and the guy who tried to tear down the tour. He's been incredibly critical of everything that the tour does. And we all appreciate and acknowledge the career that he's had in the game of golf. But do you just turn around and welcome him back with open arms? He's not in the prime. This isn't John Rahm, who's still winning major championships, or Bryson, who's still contending. This is a guy who's probably supposed to be playing on the senior tour, who hasn't really played in the last year. How they handle Phil Mickelson is a fascinating outcome to all of this, because he was the guy who was the first one to jump to showcase to other golfers that it was okay to jump.
The last one I would point to and move on, there's an interesting little blurb on The Athletic about, did LIV actually help golf? And you can say, you can laugh at that and say, well, no, it's dying. And you could, yeah, no doubt. But in some ways, as they point out, the threat of LIV did increase things for the PGA.
Oh, the payouts are bigger, yeah.
Here's an example. Rory McIlroy just won $4.5 million at the Masters. Do you know how much Hideki Matsuyama won in 2021?
I guess it's somewhere in the two, high twos?
Two.
Two, yeah.
That's more than double.
It's massive, yeah.
So the payouts got bigger, and so everybody got a little more serious about addressing some of the issues in the PGA. So
that's when you got all these elevated events now on the PGA Tour where the fields are all guaranteed
way,
and the payouts
are
bigger.
It did make it better. Just it's funny to also laugh at it that it's going away. That's what I wanted to highlight.
The main purpose that it served for me from golf was putting tournaments in places that didn't often get tournaments.
Sure.
That was like the scenes in Australia or places that they would go play where there was a player on tour from that country. Those were always great. And I'm glad those golf fans got to experience something. Outside of that, it served no other purpose.
A couple LIV events here, right? In Portland, or at least one.
I went to it when it was at Pumpkin Ridge. I was there.
The picture is a little clearer, and the narrative seems to be wrong. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. But first, Schultzy with a sports update. One of our listeners has a LIV golf ball marker.
Never forget, man.
Hey, man.
Never forget. I was there when it was at Pumpkin Ridge. It was wild. Walking around, Phil Mickelson playing number four, Pumpkin.
Was it Norman tossing beers
yes.
to the patrons?
Yes, standing on the driving. Awesome. I will never forget that because I played both sides of Pumpkin a million times. And standing on the range and being like, Phil and Dustin Johnson and Brooks and all these guys walking out playing a course I played was really weird.
So we had playing stuff yesterday.
Yes, we did.
I completely missed the Sixer Magic game. I had basketball practice, and I missed the first quarter and a half of the Warrior-Clipper game.
Yeah.
So I saw that the Sixers beat the Magic, who are one game away from firing their head coach, and I don't know what they do with their roster because they're probably going to have to pivot in some ways.
Yeah, I ended up watching a decent chunk of that game. Now, I'm not going to pretend to have watched Orlando Magic basketball.
It's been pretty awful.
You were excited about the idea of acquiring Bancaro, so I don't want to overreact to one game. Does he have like a shooting phobia?
No, he can't shoot very well.
Okay.
It's like a Ben Simmons situation.
It feels like he passed up.
I don't think it's quite Ben Simmons level, but
no.
Yeah, it's he's not had a good year.
Like, dude,
that whole team is
passing
weird.
Up open shots. Like, what are we doing? Bane was the only good player on the team last
Bane's
night.
Actually had a really good year. You want to talk about the trade. Five picks is egregious, but he at least has had a good year. There's a lot of on the streets NBA chatter that him and Franz hate each other.
Yeah, Bancaro and Franz?
Yeah, Bancaro and Franz.
Break them up, dude. We'll take one of them.
Well,
probably rather have Franz.
There's
at
a lot
this
of
point.
People that don't want Bancaro.
Yeah, I take Franz Wagner.
It fit in with Portland.
25-3 is big guy. I'll take it.
So the Magic lose, the Sixers win. Maxie's good in that game.
Yes,
and then I watched this Warrior Clipper game, not like super closely because I said yesterday I don't really care. I think both these teams are bad.
It was on my screen, but I wasn't glued to it,
dude. A Steph little heater with Kevin Harlan on a call. And then you get an Al Horford run at the end. And then, oh, by the way, I think Draymond Green pops his Achilles. Then I realize it's a knee injury. And then about two possessions later, he's just ripping Kawhi Leonard.
Yes, back in the game, dominating defensively.
Like, if you ever want to have a tape moment and an argument for why Draymond deserves more credit in their run.
Yeah, show him that highlight at the end of the game.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr said it at the end. Steve Kerr, I think, gets a little hyperbolic at times with things he says as a coach, but I still appreciate him saying it. And he was like, Draymond's the best defender I've ever seen in my life. And I think people would argue with that and be like, really? He's better than this guy, that guy, and the other guy. But
there's no way to prove it right or wrong.
That can't be easy for a Draymond Green to have to defend
Kawhi.
And I know they're roughly the same height. But
yeah, one's a little bit quicker.
Yeah, one's much different a player. But Chris Paul posts a picture of the guy at the funeral because the Clippers get eliminated from the play-in.
Did he really post that last night?
Yeah.
Well done, Chris Paul.
You know, the black guy with sunglasses at the funeral that's like posing?
Yeah.
Not the peace sign.
Oh, not that one. Okay.
Just the serious stone face.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Chris Paul posted that when the Clippers lost.
I'm aware, Clippers. I'm aware. Your season's over. Bye-bye.
And so the Clippers are going to end now and probably have to do something because I imagine Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers are going to get in trouble from this.
You would think,
investigation, that's taking forever.
He said after the game last night, Kawhi did, I'm not worried about it, which, you know, what else is he going to say at this point? Does the NBA and Adam Silver have any teeth? We'll find out, I guess, in the offseason based off they handle this story. I think, you know, in their perspective, it's probably been pushed to the back burner because now this whole tanking debate is taken on and now we got to settle that for the next month. And so I'm still curious to see how that all plays out. I'm not going to go over the top in making fun of the Clippers, although it is hilarious to see them again do nothing and always do nothing as a franchise. They might lose Kawhi Leonard in his contract, but we kind of did this last year with Phoenix. Now, I know we just beat Phoenix, and so I don't know if they're going to be Golden State or not Friday night for the 8th seed. But it's when we're quick to make fun of a team, some have the ability to pivot. And I think when you have the richest owner in professional sports and you have a market that people want to live in and you can entice free agents to come to, like the Clippers long term, I'm sure will be fine, but they got to get through this in the short term. And it's almost probably good. Like, just put them out of their misery. They were going nowhere. Steph and Draymond wanted to give it one more go in the postseason. It was really fun to see Steph go off last night. It's one of those moments I try and acknowledge of, like, I don't know how many more years he's going to do this. So when you get a glimpse of it, try and enjoy it and appreciate it. Because to your point, especially when Harlan's on the call, it's really fun to watch him go on a heater. And he's like, dude, you just can't miss. He's throwing shots in from all over the floor. But the Clippers, unfortunately, long-term will probably be fine because they have Ballmer and they're in Los Angeles. And that's a pretty good, powerful 1-2 punch.
I do think they're going to get hit with something. I don't know if hammered is the term I'd use because I don't know how to feel about Adam Silver and the way that they're conducting themselves in that manner. But they're at least doing a thorough investigation and now their season's over. So I think eventually, I wouldn't be shocked if Silver looked at the calendar and said, what's the date of the last NBA Finals game? I'm going to do that announcement after.
The Monday after that's all done is when you drop that one.
If you're Silver, and you can certainly disagree with this, if you're Silver from a business perspective, do you want all the shows in America, if they do talk NBA, to bring up and go, coming up next?
Right.
And instead of saying, like, man, did you see that great Western Conference Finals game between Wemby and the Thunder?
It's game 4. You mean Blazers? Excuse me?
Oh, sorry. Denny and SGA.
Denny and SGA going back and forth, game 4 of the Conference Finals.
Who's the biggest foul hunter in the association? We saw it on display last night.
Well, and again, to that point, what are they going to vote on in May that everybody's going to debate? We'll get the actual reforms to the lottery, will take headlines away from actual playoff games.
Yeah.
So I think you're spot on. You don't want this overshadowing. You already have one thing overshadowing
it. It's a big punishment.
Dude, if you're like kicking Kawhi off the Clippers and nullifying the contract, that's a massive bombshell.
Yeah.
And is he free to go wherever he wants? Like, just go sign anywhere?
He goes to the Lakers.
That changes the free. He absolutely does. He's already in Los Angeles.
Go
team up with Luka Doncic, and they got a max salary slot. Like, are you limiting how much money he can make in his next contract? Well, million questions out of it, but I'm with you. I think they wait till the end of the finals.
I'll tell you this, dude. I know a lot of people, their takeaway from the Jailblazer doc, if they've seen it, underwhelming, and Bob Whitsitt and Rashid and all that. I'll say this about Bob Whitsitt. I found him to be hysterical of how he, like, still to this day refuses to admit any wrong on the Ruben Patterson signing.
He never got in trouble.
Who was better? What I will acknowledge, though, is I did think he dropped some real truth in there that I appreciate as a fan from a general manager viewpoint.
Yes, especially in Portland.
Never be satisfied.
Yeah.
Now, you can over-tweak, which he clearly did, but, like, always evaluate. You can make an argument for running things back and saying, no, it was good. It was a good step. Let's see what it is next year. And then tweak. He didn't choose to do that. But I did love the Scottie Pippen trade stuff. That little blurb of Scottie wanted to go to the Lakers, and it was only the Lakers. And he told Whitsitt and the Blazers, I'm not going there.
Not happening.
And Whitsitt's whole thing of, like, you just going to keep being the fourth fiddle everywhere you go, huh? That's what you want to do? You can be the number one here. And Scottie was here day one, ready to go,
balled out. You got me.
I would love for them to be aggressive if Kawhi somehow was on the market.
Oh, without a doubt, you go after
and
him.
And be like, yo.
Yo.
We know you don't like rain.
We got a different kind of rain, though.
We have these things called roofs and indoor heating.
You can stay inside the entire time.
We'll make it 77.
Yes.
We'll put AI devices all in your house and make it look like you're in an LA beach, and then you come play basketball. What do you think?
You go live on the coast, and we'll fly your helicopter over for every game.
You imagine having Kawhi on our team?
That'd be incredible.
Oh, my God.
If he all of a sudden was a free agent?
Oh.
I loved the Scotty anecdote from Whitsitt and how they pulled that off, and it was a great job finally persuading him to say yes, but then in the aftermath of it, I did think, God, how many titles would Scotty have had? He would have had 9, right?
If he just won the one?
No. If he had gone to the Lakers instead of the Blazers.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He would have got 9.
He would have had 9 rings.
He would have been like,
if he's got 9, is he the GOAT?
Him and Bill Russell, man. That would have been a crazy conversation.
Right? Because he won 6 in Chicago.
Well, I've always asked this, and I've been wondering this since I watched them play as a child. Because even growing up, like, it was Michael Jordan's the best, right? And then Michael retires. You get a little older. And then LeBron comes along. And then you start seeing LeBron be what LeBron becomes, right? And then it becomes somewhat of an argument, but a lot of people will never relent on this.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wondered sincerely, if the Blazers wouldn't have like crumbled in that fourth quarter and they win and beat the Pacers in the finals.
What does it do to the narrative?
Well, it has to change it in some ways, does it not? Because if Scotty goes on to win a ring in Portland, effing Oregon.
Yeah. As the best player, arguably, on the team, right? Him and Rashid probably 1A, 1B.
Rashid was probably more talented, but overall, Scotty was the leader of that team.
Yeah.
If that happens, what is the narrative, or how has the narrative changed?
I think you found your answer in the years that Michael stepped away, that they still won 50-plus games the first year and went on a run in the playoffs.
No, I don't think you did, because Michael gets all the
credit. What I'm saying is it didn't change anything. That's what I'm saying. Like, they still won 50-plus games without him.
55.
55 games, and I know the
They made the East Finals next year, right?
Quarter. Yeah. I think they made the quarter.
Okay, second round. Yeah. And Scotty famously had the migraine and sat out the game, and they couldn't, you know, they didn't pull it off. So I know they didn't win a championship, but it wasn't like he'd left and they cratered without him. So I think I think that debate has gotten to a point where
But a ring is different than the quarters in 55.
I think
wins. People
they would have just spun it a different way. Like, oh, it was
the loaded
team. It's Rashid and Damon Stoudemire and Arvydas Sabonis. It's their team. Scotty's just along for the ride.
Okay.
Definitely in LA though. Had he gone there and won 3 more, that wouldn't have helped, because he would have been the third best player on their team. And Phil Jackson was there and
I don't think it would have changed. If he won one in Portland, I think I disagree with you. I think it changes a little. I don't know in what ways. But Mike never won one pre-Scotty, and damn sure wasn't getting close in Washington.
No, he was not.
If Scotty would have came to Portland and done it, it would have been like, whoa. Maybe your number two was also a number one.
Jordan stands, it takes a lot to get them off their argument.
Well, you're never going
to. You're never backing them down.
Even to piggyback, if he won one in Portland, could have won two, because they wouldn't have made pretty much any changes going into 0-1.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They would have won. It would have been very, very.
You're telling me we wouldn't have added Sean Kemp that next offseason? Is that what you're telling me? We wouldn't have traded for Sean Kemp?
The recipe to repeat. Sean Kemp.
Fat ass. High the whole time. God.
So our play-in results last night, you got Steph and the Warriors. If they beat Phoenix, they're in. And I'll tell you, give me the Warriors, even though they're going to get swept. I'd just rather watch Steph go for 30 points and lose than what the Phoenix Suns are doing.
I probably won't watch much of that series either way, but I'm with you completely. I'd rather have Steph in the playoffs.
So the Warriors win, the Sixers win, the Magic lose, and the Clippers are out, and we'll have to wait and see. I didn't get to one point I wanted to get to, the narrative not being right, and I'll tell you what I'm talking about next on The Fan. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. I'll tell you about that in just a couple minutes, but I was reading some stuff yesterday. And how about this? You know, the narrative of this league is it's basically trash. It's not good. I don't like it. It's awful. They don't care. Why should I care? Doesn't really seem to be holding a lot right now, because the NBA saw a massive increase in viewership across all their platforms this year. More people this year than have in... God, what was the thing I read? It was some of the biggest increase. Yeah, 15 years.
Wow. That's massive.
Up 15 years of viewership ratings this year.
Take your victory lap, dude. It's great. I mean, that's an awesome.
I take a victory lap because I understand why people don't like it.
I mean, look, there are faults and weaknesses of the NBA. I think there's an argument out there, and you've made this before. I know Eric Gunderson's made this point of like the NBA doesn't help themselves because they allow the negative narratives to kind of take hold instead of focusing on the positives. Where there's a lot of good things going on inside the sport. There's a lot of intrigue. We've had how many years in a row now with the different champion?
Is it
six or seven, somewhere in that range.
Which one is it?
See what you did there. We've gotten out of, and maybe OKC proves this wrong, we've gotten out of a bit of that dynasty run that we were on, that it was the same teams every year, and
so
there was not really hope. Like, I absolutely think it's good.
Like,
it doesn't.
Colin Cowherd think it's bad for the league to not have a dynasty.
You have to have hope amongst fan bases in order for people to be invested. How many Blazer fans have we heard from? We heard from a ton yesterday who said, that was the first Blazer game that I've watched from start to finish. Now, I know we're unique because we went through a tank, but that's one of the driving forces in other sports. Like, if you don't tell me there's a legitimate pathway to winning a championship, for some fans, you're just checking out immediately. And like, we know who's going to win it. Having hope is a powerful thing, and it keeps people invested, and it keeps them watching games, and it gives them a reason to follow and support. And so there's a lot of great things going inside basketball. To be honest with you, I was shocked by this because I didn't know how the pivot to, and I don't know what percentage of games it would have broken down to, but the pivot to more streaming outcomes or streaming partners, where you have Amazon as a primary partner now. A ton of games went on Peacock for the NBA this season.
Yep.
And that was a fear I remember having with their TV deal of, dude, they got a ton of money, so I don't blame them at all for taking it. Are you really going to get your fans to jump from traditional ways of watching? It's one thing for the NFL to do it because it's the NFL, first off, and it's one game a week on Thursday night.
Right.
Outside of that, every other game is on its traditional platform, and it was a higher chunk for the NBA. So the fact that they saw that big of a jump in ratings is massive for Adam Silver in the league, and now they just got to get out of their own way and stop feeding into the negativity of all of it and start focusing on the positives.
Yeah, seven straight years, new champion.
Seven straight years. Get to eight? I mean, it's basically OKC or the field.
I know.
It'd be great if we did, because OKC,
I think they're a wagon, dude.
Seems not unbeatable is not fair.
You know, the good thing
Indiana
about it,
damn near did last year.
The good thing is the last back-to-back we had was the Kevin Durant Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because as great as Oklahoma City is, and I do want to make that clear, very great, there is still, for whatever reason, until we see them win, I think three. I think even if they do it again, we're going to the next year with the same thing of, still feels open, because I do think there's that many more good teams. They're a really great team, mm-hmm. but it's not Kevin Durant on the Warriors unbeatable type level.
No,
right?
No. So they almost lost to Denver in the second round, and they almost lost to Indiana in the NBA Finals.
Exactly. So that my whole thing is they might repeat, but it does still feel very open for a handful of teams.
Yes.
And you just hope that your team is one of those handful of teams.
Without a doubt.
Which maybe we are. 7-2 upset?
Could be us.
Let's get to that. We'll start the second hour with little Blazers where we were looking for something in this build. And I just want to make a point of like, hey, maybe we achieved the goal and we should acknowledge that. We'll talk with Eric Collins at 7:30. It's a loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.